from inside the WAER studios.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside! He scores the game winner! Give the assist to Don Mattada! Syracuse wins!
Finds Guerrier, open, drives baseline, goes up, and hammers it home! Quincy Guerrier, hello!
And it's intercepted! Andre Sisco!
Flings it from 75 feet past the scoreboard, and he connected! Elijah Hughes throws up a prayer at the buzzer, and somehow it's answered!
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
The Orange, take the Camping World Bowl.
Syracuse gets the program signature win it always needed. Perhaps the biggest upset in program history.
Taj Harris passed the 45. He's past midfield. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Syracuse.
And one, Joe Girard.
Three ball, Buddy Boeheim. He got all three of them. Huge shot from Buddy.
Pass point, Black got it. Game winner. Brendan Curry with the winner.
Hughes left wing charges and slams with the right hand.
Killing a three at the buzzer. Oh, it's good. He made it!
And here's your hosts, Owen Valentine and Ben Shulman.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Owen Valentine joined by Ben Shulman. Ben, what's orange and blue and sucks at football?
Oh, you know, this is a tough one.
And not Boise State.
Okay, I was going to say, I can't really think of anyone else who's orange and blue. So I'll go with the easy answer. Syracuse University is orange and blue and is 1-7 at football.
They drop to 1-7. They fall 16-13 to Boston College just about 2 weeks ago. And it just does not look good right now. It's been a struggle for the Orange all season. And, you know, they're battling with injuries and different COVID procedures. And there are some excuses to be made, but this is a bad football team. We reached out to you guys for your thoughts on the game following that BC 16-13 loss. And we got a reply. So Austin McDonald's going to get the first shout out at McDonald_Austin on Twitter. So the defense played well again, but the offense couldn't capitalize on opportunities or finish off drives. This truly isn't a second half team. Morgan did well, though, all things considered. I like seeing him get out there getting experience. So thank you to Austin McDonald. Another shout out to him. You can reach out to us on Twitter to get your thoughts heard on our next football episode. We'll be tweeting out some different spots for you to get your thoughts heard at Ostrom Avenue Pod on Twitter. And while you're shooting follows here and there, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write a review. We love to hear your feedback. We love to build off of what you have to say. But Ben, some silver linings in this one for the Orange, some positives to take away, but overall it was just the story of the season for Syracuse against BC.
Yeah, I think the positive you take away from it, you know, the game, the numbers aren't great. Syracuse couldn't run the ball, which is something that hasn't really been a weakness up until now. But I think the positive you take away is Jacobian Morgan, a true freshman, was the quarterback, and the team looked pretty much the same. 188 passing yards. That's fourth most of any quarterback or any game by a Syracuse quarterback this season. I mean, if Jacobian Morgan can operate this offense as well as Culpepper and before him DeVito did, then you got to feel pretty good about the freshman. Not that the other two were playing well, but he hung in. And while it came late in the game, he had a touchdown. And Syracuse is, you know, either his pick or Tucker's fumble away from maybe getting this game tied and sending it to overtime. And they're both true freshmen. That kind of stuff's going to happen. I think now when you're in this transitional part of the season, you get less frustrated about that stuff and understand it a little more.
And let's not even talk about the fact that maybe Tucker didn't even fumble. Should there have been a forward progress rule? We're not here to discuss that. But when you talk about Morgan, he played a solid game. I think you still looked for a little bit more out of a quarterback, no doubt about it. But the big thing that you saw Baber's stretch throughout this time where you're starting Culpepper and not giving the freshman a shot is that there was sort of this drop-off and that they weren't quite ready. This BC game, Morgan's first start, really shows that he does have the capabilities to run this offense at an equal or better level than Rex Culpepper. I don't want people to get away from the fact that Rex Culpepper has the single worst PFF grade for a quarterback in college football. He was not good, which means, Babers, you can't get any worse than what you had under Rex Culpepper. And Morgan gives you a good look. He's got the highest completion percentage out of a starting quarterback for Syracuse this season, completing just over 63% of his passes against BC. He showed something different, and he showed that there is a way to run this offense. Yes, he had some slower moments, but he definitely was able to demonstrate that this is a time where he can come in and really fill the role and maybe give Syracuse an option moving forward to compete with a guy like Tommy DeVito or to run a dual system with Tommy DeVito, even when you have a healthy DeVito. So it's a really good sign for Syracuse moving forward to see the way he performed on Saturday.
And he had to throw the ball 30 times. That's not what Dino wants to do with this offense. He said it after the game that it's hard to win college football games if you have to throw every play. And with Tucker and Lutz combining for just over 50 yards in this one, it was a tough spot for him to be put in. He never looked like he cracked under the pressure. It's good that he finished strong despite not having a lot of success earlier in the game. Bounces back from an interception and goes and scores a touchdown after two straight turnovers for the Orange. It's a success in my mind. It's not an overwhelming success. It wasn't an incredible debut, but he was solid, and that's all you can expect out of a guy who's, 19 years old.
Completely agree, Ben, and a lot of, room for improvement, but definitely show that there is what it takes to get some solid drives, to get this offense moving, and to be able to sort of revive a more than deflated Syracuse offense. When you look at this team, there are freshmen everywhere on the defensive side, on the offensive side. One of the big freshmen that came in is Sean Tucker, has really shown himself as the premier running back for Syracuse, has shown that he's got the abilities, even as a true freshman, to come in and shine carrying the football and to give us a little more depth on Sean Tucker, to show us a little bit more on who Sean Tucker is. We caught up with his high school football coach, Donald Davis, to really break down what Sean Tucker is as a running back and who Sean Tucker is as a human. We're now joined by Donald Davis, now the head coach at Sidwell Friends School, coaching football. Used to be over at Calvert Hall coaching Sean Tucker, and that's why we brought you in today. Donald, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Now, Tucker kind of just shot onto the scene. He came in as, the theoretical running back five and ends up making his way and showing his name, and now is the premier back for Syracuse, has really shown his stuff. And can you just kind of bring us back in time and take us through Sean's kind of sort of high school football journey?
Yeah, I can. So, Sean came to us as a running back, defensive back. We had thought maybe early on that he was probably going to end up that his ceiling was as a defensive back. I noticed some things his sophomore year that made me really feel like, he had the stuff. I'm a running back guy by trade, so that's something that I can almost like feel, see, taste. When I see it, I know it. And I talked to our defensive backs coach and just said, hey, man, I really need a little more time with him on offense. There's some things I think he has that I want to see. We started working with him almost exclusively at running back his sophomore year. And the sort of the same thing that's happened at Syracuse is, he was a number two guy at running back. We had a starter go down and he stepped in a huge game, made a huge play, just like he did at Syracuse, and the rest is history.
What skills did he have initially that made you lean more defensive back than running back?
Speed. He's fast. He can go, man. I think one of them was he wanted to play defensive back. And that was something that he had worked really hard at and worked hard at becoming really good at. Running back is just natural. I mean, he has just natural ball carrying, change of direction, explosiveness, pick up 0 to 60, those weren't like the things that he was working really hard to get great at. He was working on moving backwards and changing direction and covering people and whatnot. But carrying the football is just something that he can do. I mean, he's just natural at it.
At what point with Sean did you realize that this kid was good? Was there a specific play or a specific instance?
Yeah, he took off for a 90-yard touchdown against the number one public school in the state of Maryland. That was when I realized. We gave him the ball, and he stuck his foot in the ground, and he ran away from a kid that was going to Florida State and a kid that's at Howard and a kid that – and he ran away and created separation from those guys. A guy that's at Maryland. So, yeah, that secondary of all Division I players couldn't catch him, and he was in the 10th grade. And I knew. Is that a good enough, like, aha moment?
Oh, that's – you know, we kind of knew when he ran for 111 yards against Georgia Tech after coming out of nowhere. So I could see some parallels there. So does he take over as the starter as a sophomore, or is it more in his junior year?
Nah, he took over that week.
That week. And how did he progress from underclassman first starting to then, you know, his junior season – where he runs for nearly 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns, just has a massive year.
So I think one of the things that, you know, the irony is, it's going to sound ironic with the kid, but he slowed down. And not slowed down in a bad way, but slowed down, began to understand how his blocks were being set up for him, where he could make the read, stick the foot in the ground, and then go be the fast guy. So I think the thing I saw from his sophomore year to his junior year was, you know, he was like, as a sophomore, he was in hyperspeed. Everything was just like, give me the ball, let me run. You know, give me the ball, let me go. And his junior year, you could tell that he was beginning to, like, get it. Like, okay, you know what? I don't have to break as many tackles. If I just slow down some, let this guard wrap around, kick that defensive end out, let this fullback block the linebacker, and then just subtly make the move off of that. So I think the jump from his sophomore to junior year was really more just about him becoming comfortable enough to slow down.
You can definitely tell he seems to be able to find something out of nothing so many times where there's not necessarily a major gap, but he's able to still burst off and create a solid gain. Was there anything else that you sort of had to refine with him and work with him on specifically to get him to where he is today?
Yeah, I think that not just the slowdown piece, but to understand what we're trying to do and where we're trying to get you open. You know, every play doesn't have to go to the perimeter. And once he embraced learning the offense, you know, it's funny because I look at him now and like, I see him like calling plays to the offensive line, you know, and like he's, you know, relaying information. And, you know, I reached out to him and said, hey, are you a part of, like, maybe not the play call, but the play communication? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, that's ironic because he's such a quiet kid. Like, if you've met him in person, he doesn't really say much. He's a pretty quiet kid. But, you know, for him to have evolved in that way, really just, you know, for us, it's really learning the system and understanding where and how we were trying to get him, not just get him the ball, but where we were trying to get him a crease. And once he understood all of that, then man, it was, I mean, he became the best back in the league. The only guy close to him is his current teammate right now, Marlo Wax. I mean, they were like 1 and 1A in the league.
You talked about how he sort of came out of nowhere. No one really, you know, he was more of a defensive back. No one expected this from him as a running back. Do you think that experience in high school helped him prepare for this experience in college where, you know, he begins the season, as Owen said earlier, as the RB5, guys opt out, guys go down, he's thrown in there, and he really hasn't seemed to feel any of the pressure of being a Power 5 running back as a true freshman?
I think so, but I would say you're probably best asking him. You know, from my vantage point, I would say, looking at the situation, because they're so similar, you know, one wants to say, hey, I'm sure he called on his experience from high school, but I don't know that for absolute certain. I believe he did. I believe that experience helped him. You know, I think he spent his whole high school career in a stable of backs. You know, we had some other really good running backs while he was, you know, in his time with us. So, you know, he was always accompanied by other guys. And in the beginning, like I said, he wasn't RB1, and then he eventually became it. And once he became it, he was He was that guy the rest of the way.
Who is Sean Tucker? You said he's a quiet kid, but what does he do off the field? What do you know about him? What can you tell us about Sean Tucker? Well,
it's interesting because for he is a very simple yet very complex being. So simple in this way. In a lot of ways, what you see is what you get. He's a pretty quiet kid. You know, he's going to show up every day. He's going to go to work. You know, he's a workout guy, so he's going to give it to you in the weight room. He's not going to slouch on you at practice because, you know, just the way he's wired, the way he's been raised, father has done a tremendous job of preparing him in that way. Like, we can't even take credit for that. As his high school coach, I can't take credit for that. His father did a tremendous job of just preparing him from a work ethic standpoint. So in a lot of ways, he's simple. And yet very, very complex. Although he's a quiet kid, if you see him around people that he's comfortable with, he's a jokester. And he can let loose a little bit. And for as serious and hardworking and tough and physical as he is, he's a kid. And I was blessed to be able to watch him a lot of times just be a kid. And that was one of the coolest parts to having him on our team is you get a kid that's that good. But he's just a kid. He's just another guy on the team. And I think that's part of what endeared him to his teammates. The guys loved him because he was just a guy that was on the team that wanted to, you know, go to Panera after school and grab something to eat real quick and, you know, practice and have fun and just be one of the guys and pal around the locker room. So, you know, it's one of those things you can look at him and say, oh, you know, he must be just – so laser focused that he doesn't, you know, ever smile or whatever. And that's not him.
Well, I think he's become a bit of a fan favorite, not only because of his play on the field, but people are really starting to take a liking to, you know, the limited access we get of Sean Tucker week to week. His Twitter is great. People love it. It's, you know, it's very matter of fact and straightforward. He's like, you know, I rushed for 60 something yards this week. I had a decent game, but we didn't win and I want to do better. And I think that sort of honesty and upfront attitude that he has really endeared himself with people here in Syracuse.
I'm sure. Like I said, he's simple yet complex. It's the best way I could put it for him. But the good thing is he's fast.
what's your favorite Sean Tucker story? Do you have any sort of, you know, moments or, you know, or something from practice or whatnot?
Some other guys have asked me that. And I don't know that I have, like, there was just every day with him it's interesting. Every day is interesting. You know, I think of one, and this is, here he is committing to Syracuse, right? And he shows up to signing day, no hat, no sweatshirt, nothing. You know, you see these kids that are like got 10 hats on the table and I'm putting this on and all those other things. And he was just like, well, I'm here to, you know, he'd actually physically signed the paperwork already, but we were just going through the ceremonial piece. It was like, I'm here to just, you know, tell everybody and my family and let them take pictures and tell them that I'm going to Syracuse. And it's like, nah, you got to have, you don't have a hat or a sweatshirt or anything. And it's like, nah, I don't. And I was like, all right, well, let me figure something out. So I had to go, like, I like rigged like a football that had like a postcard that Reno had sent to us from Syracuse. And like, I rigged that so that he would have at least something sitting in front of him at the table that said Syracuse. And it really didn't seem to matter to him. And not that he didn't care, but he's just not a frills type of kid. That's not who he is. So that's one of the things that just sort of tells you who he is. He showed up to sign a day with no hat, no shirt, no nothing. He just is going to tell people like, hey, I've been committed and I'm going to Syracuse.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You were also Calvert Hall's track and field coach at one point.
I coached on the track and field staff. but I wasn't the head coach. So I helped with jumpers and hurdlers primarily, but I coached them a little bit. I helped our sprints coach. Dan Harper was our sprints coach.
So you got to see Sean also, who was a track star well at Calvert Hall.
Yes, helped us win a championship.
Do you think his track helped his football, or his football helped his track, or he was just lightning fast?
I think both. I think the football aspect gives you a camaraderie and a team mindset that maybe you don't get naturally in track. So he was a guy that made the locker room light, that was good on relay teams and those sorts of things because of his football experience. And when you put him on the football field, if he can get the 15, he's going to get the rest because, 55, 100, 200 meter dashes. And he's used to that sort of work. And, again, that's a credit to not only his dad and his brother, but Dan Harper, our sprint coach. Dan did a tremendous job of making him the premier sprinter. I mean, not just the premier running back in the area, but premier sprinter in the area.
Now, I wanted to ask while we had you about Daniel Owens a little bit. I don't know what kind of contact you still have with him, but he's got an offer from Syracuse. Is there any chance that that could happen in the future? And what is there to know about Owens if we're just going to talk about him a little bit?
I think there is. If the guys work hard and it's a situation that he feels comfortable and likes, I think he's one of those guys that the sky is the limit for him. He's long, lean, and athletic, which means he can be a lot of different things. When you get those guys, you just give them to the strength coach and you tell him what you want him to look like when he comes out of the cocoon. That's one of the beauties of a kid like that. He's got a tremendous motor. He plays hard and a lot like Sean, he's a guy that just teammates just like being around him. And man, what a blessing when you got a bunch of guys like that, that like you like to coach them and other guys like playing with them.
One more thing. I mean, you make the switch over to Sidwell Friends, which has a pretty fun alumni base, including Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye, the science guy. You got it.
Are you,
a lot of people don't know that. That's good.
I was going to go Natasha Obama, but he decided to go Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah, the Obama girls went there as well. But Bill Nye, the science guy, that's a good one. That's one that not a lot of people know.
Is this like poster up in the school anywhere? Do they have Bill Nye hanging on the rafters?
If it is, I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, we really appreciate you coming on. Before we let you leave officially, I wanted to – what do you think the ceiling is for Sean Tucker? Where can he end up?
Sunday.
Yeah? That would be number five for you.
I said it when he was a junior. If things unfold the way I believe they're capable of, he's going to run the ball on Sunday. That's where I think it ends up.
We love it.
And so, I mean, you've – just to string you on for one more, Owen said last one, but I'm going to keep you here because I have some personal stake in this one. You were at Calvert Hall when Adrian Amos was there, right?
Was.
So I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. So, I mean, I went from not liking Adrian Amos to really liking Adrian Amos.
Yeah, because he's in Chicago.
But, you've seen that NFL caliber talent before, and you think Sean has some of the qualities. Obviously, they're completely different positions, but that could get a guy to playing on Sundays.
I do. He can pass protect. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Those are two of the things that are sometimes separators with young running backs. And he's a guy that can get stronger as the game goes on. And that's like a knack for a running back. He takes care of the football. He gets stronger as the game goes on. And he is a strong body. Like, you don't always have to be, a hulking presence. Like, you take the young kid in New Orleans, right? Right? Not a big running back, but strong. And you can see it. Glancing blows don't exactly knock him down. He catches the ball extremely well out of the backfield, but he can run up the chute, and he's tough. And so if a kid like Kamara can make it in the league, then Sean Tucker can make it in the league. Not as long and whatnot, but explosive, can make people miss, and can break tackles.
Don, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way. You guys stay safe.
One more thank you to Donald Davis, Don Davis, the football guy. We've got Bill Nye coming out of his current high school at Sidwell Friends. Now we're going to try and get that one moving for him. Don Davis, the football guy, with a lot of good stuff, talking Sean Tucker, talking about his running career, as well as, you know, just kind of diving a little bit deeper into a guy that we really don't know too much about. He is probably the most electric follow in all of the Twitter sphere. When you look at what he has to say after every game, it is basically like, I want to say it's sort of like an ongoing resume, his Twitter profile. Every game he jumps on and he just gives you a little bit. And if you don't follow this man already, it is a necessity. At Sean Tucker 2020, SEANTUCER 2020. It's one of my favorite follows. I look forward to it after every game to see what his thoughts were on his performance. And it is just the perfect ongoing resume reel as to how Sean Tucker is playing. And even if you scroll back, he's got some of his track highlights from his high school days over at Calvert Hall. So one more thank you to Don Davis for that. But Ben, there is another football game to be played on Saturday, whether Syracuse fans, or actually, correct me, on Friday, you got a little Friday night action, Syracuse football on a linear broadcast network. Who would have thought that this team would make it to national television? But here we are. They take on Louisville on Friday, and it's going to be another tough battle. Every game is going to be tough for the Orange this season, but it's something that they're going to have to try and make the most of, and it's going to be interesting to see how they approach this game.
Well, there was a lot of talk this week about motivation in the Tuesday night press conferences that the players did, and all of them have the same message. They are still focused on winning football games. And if you talk about winning games between Louisville, NC State, and Notre Dame, the three teams left on their schedule, this is by far the best opportunity for Syracuse to win. The Cardinals are a good program, but this has not been a good year. They're 2-6 and 1-6 in the conference. The only difference between Syracuse and Louisville is Louisville won its out-of-conference game, and the Orange played a still undefeated Liberty team who kind of stomped all over them. But
Liberty is good.
Liberty's very good. I mean, we don't need to get into that tangent, but that's no longer looking like a bad loss. But Syracuse, this could be a big game for the guy whose high school coach we just talked to, Sean Tucker. The Louisville Cardinals have a good defense in terms of yards allowed, third best in the conference, but they're third worst in rushing yards allowed. They really give it up on the ground, and that's part of the reason teams just don't throw on them very often. Teams only attempt 26 passes per game, which is by far the lowest in the ACC. Only Clemson is even in the stratosphere, and Louisville's defense does not force a lot of turnovers, which has been a serious issue for the Orange in recent weeks. So I think there is an opportunity here, if SU can run the ball effectively, to score enough points, and if their defense plays anywhere close to what it was at last week, or 2 weeks ago, pardon me, the Orange could feasibly pick up their second win here. I don't think it's out of the realm of reality.
Ben, Vegas disagrees with you pretty significantly in this game. And you mentioned the similarities in terms of record, as Louisville just with one more victory than the Orange, having won their non-con game this season. But Vegas has Louisville as an 18-point favorite going into this matchup, which I think is pretty steep, but it just goes to show the national sort of lack of faith that Syracuse has anything to put forward for the remainder of this season. And it's something that you hear stressed at different times in seasons. And at whatever level you're at, especially in a non-professional level, when you're playing at the high school level, when you're playing at the collegiate level, you're playing for pride at this point. You don't necessarily have anything else to play for except for some pride, and to say that this is still a team that deserves some sort of respect. And you've got to show that there is something that you have to offer that portrays you as a team that should not be entirely looked over. There needs to be some sort of respect that other teams have when they come and face the Syracuse Orange. And that's not something that exists right now. I remember pre-Clemson, I'm talking to one of the Orange's backup O-linemen about their approach to that game, and he was just talking about how amped they were and fired up and ready to go to battle. And outside of that Clemson game, I haven't really seen it. Syracuse has got to start approaching these games, and I know it's not Clemson, but you get one game a year against Clemson, and you've got another game a couple of weeks down the road against Notre Dame. But there are two games, one against Louisville, one against NC State, that in theory, at the start of the season, these were games that you were supposed to be competitive in, and you still can be competitive in them. You've got to come out with that same mentality that you're ready to go to battle, because it's something that we haven't necessarily seen out of the Syracuse team, except for, you know, a few plays here and there and a half of a football against the Clemson Tigers.
If you want to get fired up, look at that line. I mean, if I was on the Syracuse football team, I'd be pissed off. That I don't think that's a fair line. And we could come back on this show next week and I could look really stupid, and it might happen. But, you know, Florida State lost to them big. I'll give Louisville that. The other one is Western Kentucky, another team that got trampled by Liberty. But the Cardinals also lost to Georgia Tech by 19 points. I mean, this is the only team Syracuse has beat all season, and they handled it pretty easily. So I think this is a game that will at least be close. And you got to get fired up at the notion that I think this is the realistic shot. You know, NC State is a fringe top 25 team, or at least they were a fringe top 25 team before they've had some injuries. And Notre Dame, I mean, that's a team that's playoff bound probably. So, expecting wins there, it just doesn't seem realistic at this point. Louisville, it's, in my opinion, clearly not in Vegas's opinion, a legitimate opportunity to beat the Cardinals. And then just not finishing last in the conference, I think, is a big thing. If you finish in the basement, it really hurts your morale. Just to say you beat Louisville, you're not the worst. Some games didn't go your way, but you picked up two ACC wins. You can take some pride in that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And if this Louisville line is 18 points, I can only start to imagine what that Notre Dame line is going to look like, because that Notre Dame defense, yes, has a damn good chance at just shutting out the Orange entirely. And Syracuse might struggle to get any first downs in that matchup, because it is going to be as tough as can be. Obviously, you mentioned it, a playoff-bound team in theory. They've got a lot going for them right now. And this is something that Syracuse is going to have to deal with. But right now, they've got some Friday night lights. They're playing on Friday night. And Ben, we've been pretty bad in terms of predictions, but we're going to keep going on the train, and we can't completely stray away from them. What do you have in terms of score prediction for this one? At this point, we are going to go back and look at every prediction. We're going to get that graphic out. We're going to do the comparison, and we're going to figure that out, because I got to see who's winning out of us two. Even if you're winning, it's not saying anything right now. We've been terrible.
It will be quantified. We'll figure out who's doing better and who's doing worse. But, you know, I haven't done it all year, and I think this is what gives you the advantage when we go back and take a look. You picked Syracuse to beat Georgia Tech, if I'm not mistaken, and they did. I did not. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Syracuse to win. I haven't once this season. I think at one point, maybe even more than once, I said I wouldn't pick Syracuse to win a single game. But Louisville not having Javian Hawkins is big. He's a dynamic player. There's a reason he opted out for the draft. He will be an NFL player, and I think a pretty solid one. I have the Orange here. I think Morgan is even better in his second start. He was listed as the QB1, and I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. I think Syracuse wins 24-21 in a nail biter. Like, they get up big somehow and nearly blow it, but 24-21 for the Orange.
I think that line is absurd. I think 18 points is way too much, despite how badly Syracuse has looked. I don't think they win, and this is a bit of a safe pick, because it gives me almost a free game up on Ben, because I can't imagine Syracuse wins another football game this season. But I do think that they're going to cover that line. I'm going to roll 36-24 in favor of Louisville. So a 12-point win for the Cards, but who knows? I think this is going to be a game where the Syracuse offense is just not going to have enough, and that's been the case all year long. And I could be wrong on that Louisville number, I will say, because the defense, despite everything going wrong offensively this year, the defense has looked really, really good. So you know what? I'm going to put the brakes on for a second. I'm going to make it a closer game because I think that this defense is going to play better than 36 points. I'm going to say 28. Oh, I don't want to say 28-21. That's too simple of a score. Let's go 27-20 and give Louisville a one-score victory over the Orange.
So I can make some ground up here. We'll see. If Syracuse wins, then I have no idea who's done better at predictions this year.
Honestly, I should have just predicted Syracuse to win so I can't lose a game to you here. But this is where things get interesting. Game on Friday night is at 7 p.m. Our coverage on WAER is going to start up at 6:30 with countdown to kickoff at WAER.org to listen online or 88.3 FM. If you're in the central New York area, give us a listen there. Syracuse hosting Louisville on Friday night on ESPN. It's going to be Syracuse's first linear broadcast of the 2020 campaign. Give us a follow on Twitter for our thoughts throughout that game, our thoughts throughout the week, our thoughts leading up to Syracuse basketball. We've put the countdown on hold, but once we get some more information, we're going to get that countdown running right back up. Tweet us some questions at Ostrom Avenue Pod. Tweet us some score predictions out there. We want to know what you guys think about this Syracuse-Louisville game. What is there to play for at this point? Let us know your thoughts. And as always, subscribe to the podcast, please. Wherever you get your podcast, the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, leave us a 5-star rating. Write us a review. Those go a really, really long way in terms of us developing. And if you don't follow the Twitter, follow the Twitter. We've got some fun tweets going out there. We've got a great tweet about Jim Boeheim out there right now. I know he has had a tough week, but he did celebrate a birthday this week. So some good and bad for the Boeheim household. For Ben Shulman, I'm Owen Valentine. This has been the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.